Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday before last, and last Saturday we decided to take a brief vacation, spring break you might call it, but we are back with Booker T. Washington Speaks, and this is your host, Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, and we're happy to be able to bring this Blog Talk Internet Radio program to you. We want to begin with a short prayer, asking Almighty God to bless us as the Christian world prepares to celebrate the Holy Feast of the Resurrection. And we do hope that our spirits will be resurrected. We know is the pure consciousness, the most elevated and purified consciousness of the human being, as exemplified in the great master of love and faith and charity that we know of from the scripture, by the name of Jesus Christ. But in the Arabic world, he's known as Isa Ibn Maryam, Isa being the Arabic word for Jesus, and Maryam being the Arabic word for Mary. And so, in celebration of this pending joyful feast of the resurrection, hopefully many people will be able to feel the spirit of Easter, the floral season it's called, the time of the joy of the spring coming back, the world coming alive with hope and refreshment, and our spirits should come alive with joy and refreshment as well if we are servants of God. So we want to begin with a short prayer, and for those of you who are not familiar with this, this is actually the opening prayer or the opening chapter in the book called the Quran. And the Muslims say Holy Quran. So we say in the English language, with God's name, our merciful benefactor, our merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, or God, the Lord of all of the worlds, the most gracious and the most merciful, the master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thee do we beseech for help. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy favors, and not the way of those upon whom thy anger is brought down, or those who go astray. We want to kick off our program with something that should be familiar to us as a people. And this is what is known as the Black National Anthem. Think of the words as it's being sung. That's the Black National Anthem. And if you think very carefully about what it is saying, it is telling us that we've come a long, long way. In fact, we've come such a long way that many of us and forgotten what it used to be like before the civil rights movement, equal rights, voting rights. So what we want to do is to help remind us, we want to repeat the lyrics of that song. It was written by James Weldon Johnson. And the words are, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. This evening's program is dedicated to the topic of how African Americans can cope with President Trump's slashing of the federal budget for anti-poverty programs, upon which African American families rely heavily. And rather than have a panel of experts discuss this issue, we encourage everyone to join in and let us all hear what you think. If you want to call and join in, the number is area code 657-383-0671. Many of you may have chosen to listen on the internet, and this is fine. But if you want to call so your voice can be heard, the number to call is 657-383-0671. I would just like to begin by making note of the fact that it has already been announced, even though the full budget has not been presented to Congress, that the president plans to slash millions of dollars from programs at the elderly, the Meals on Wheels program, where food is prepared in kitchens at are voluntarily staffed, but there are paid staff members, and meals are taken to the homes of people that can't get out to go to centers where food is served for free, and people who may not have the money to buy food for themselves, or people who may not be able to prepare their own food because of disabilities. This program has served millions of people, including millions of African-American seniors. And this is one of the programs that President Trump has on the cutting block, or the chopping block. Another program involves parents, working parents primarily, who want to be able to better assist their school children to do well in school. Unfortunately, many of these parents did not do very well themselves for whatever reason, and they feel inadequate to give their children, who they want to do better than they were able to do, they feel inadequate to give them the kind of academic support that they would like to give them. And so there is a program that allows them to go to community centers, to churches where there are classrooms and other places in the community where tutors have been hired to help these parents to relearn or to learn for the first time the basic skills of mathematics and English and social studies. And these skill sets that they are going to achieve in these Century 21 schools, these community centers actually, will help them to help their children to be able to deal with the challenges of academics in the elementary and high schools. This is another program that President Trump has announced that he will cut. Then the Medicaid program, many poor people only have Medicaid. They can't afford individual health care plans. And of course, if you have ever been to an emergency room and you see people on gurneys out in the hall or sitting in chairs bent over out in the hall or in waiting rooms for a very long time, probable that the reason why they're sitting there, especially if they've been there over an hour, is that they don't have medical insurance of any kind. But Medicaid has been made available to people that are receiving social service benefits, as well as young children whose parents are not able to buy medical insurance for them. And this is another program that President Trump plans to slash dramatically, leaving millions of our people, especially young children and seniors, without any type of medical care. The other thing is the job training programs that have helped many black people, as well as others. These are the kinds of programs that the president plans to cut or eliminate. So the question that we as African Americans have to ask ourselves is, how can we survive these cuts? And obviously we can survive if we work diligently and have faith in God and work in service to God, but we have to have a strategy. We have to have a plan. And the song and the lyrics that we just read, it says, a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Our past has not been full of light. Our past has been full of midnight with no stars. Our past has been dark and dreary. Our past has been one of the saddest and worst stories of pain and misery for the longest time of any people on earth. 300, 400 years of suffering. But the song, the lyrics say, sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. So some things have begun to change, and they gave us hope. Martin Luther King said that he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a better America. He saw a America that gave people opportunity. He saw a new country in spirit, where color would not be the determining factor. People would not be judged by the color of their skin, but where people would be free. We marched and we sang, and we said, we shall overcome. We said deep in my heart, I do believe. That we shall overcome. And we marched all the way to Washington.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I'm happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, the great American in whose shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today traumatize the shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship right. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. They have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound for our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right now in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thanks God Almighty, we are free at last."
Well, brothers and sisters and friends, you've heard it. You've heard the message from the great leader of the freedom movement. The message is still relevant today. And so as we begin to enter into a new phase of our struggle, the time when we have to work together even harder to see our dream of being free realized, we have to remind ourselves that we have trod a stony road before, and we have to remind ourselves that we have had to have faith that was taught to us so that we could endure the dark past and have the hope that the present has brought us. We have to remind ourselves that bitter was the chastening rod of the old master that was felt in the days when hope unborn had died. But as the writer says, "Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed." As the writer says, we have come over a way that with tears have been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. As the writer says, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, by thy might led us into the light. Keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. But shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand, true to our God and true to our native land. We want to take just a minute to do an advertisement for our book, which was published in 2015 and has been revised. The name of the book is Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will save America, written by yours truly, Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui. And this book is a compilation of guidance, of excerpts from speeches from great leaders of our people, including the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who you were just listening to, but also people like Frederick Douglass, who said, "What is the 4th of July to the Negro?" People like David C. Walker, who said that we must work as a people to be recognized as people, that we are not brutes, we are not beasts, but we are God's people, and we must work to be recognized as God's people and never give up hope. We have to realize that there are men like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who I'll quote from in just a minute, that struggled for many, many years, for over 60 years, working to help our people to develop a sense of unity and a sense of oneness, a sense of purpose, and a sense of nationhood. And we have to also recognize people like his former disciple, Malcolm Shabazz, known as Malcolm X, who said the ballot or the bullet, but he wasn't advocating that we go and pick up rifles and try to fight our way through, but that we work together to get the ballot. And during his lifetime, we got the ballot. But the fact is that he was shot down by bullets. And one of the reasons why is because there were people that feared him, because they saw that he was rising to become a spokesperson for the downtrodden people, not only of America, but of the world, especially the Black world. And we have to remember the great leader, the Imam, the minister known as Wallace Muhammad, who gave us light so that we could see our way through the one thing that had repressed us, and that was our sense that we were alone in the world. And we had to be isolated like a turtle folded into his shell. And he opened up the light to us so that we could see that we were part of a world community of humanity, and that we were free to enjoy the benefits of the brotherhood and the sisterhood of people of all colors throughout the whole world. And also we have to remember people like Honorable Marcus Josiah Garvey, who said, "Up, you mighty race, you can accomplish whatever you will." And all of these people are represented in my book, as well as others. And we want you to enjoy growing with your eyes being opened through the words of these great people in this book. So we invite you to order this book. If you would take down this number, we are going to close at 10 o'clock. Our show It's now a one-hour show, but we are actually scheduling so that if we do have people that want to have a conversation that takes us past the 1 hour, we will extend the show to accommodate the voices of all that call in. But our show will regularly go from 9 until 10 o'clock, but we will reserve the right to keep it going if we have a good conversation going. But take a moment and go get a pen or a pencil and some paper to write on. And we'll repeat this before we close. But the number is 706-399-5006. And what we would like to ask you to do is to send a text message. Or if you don't have a phone or a phone that can send text messages, call that number and leave a message. Leave a message and let us know your name, how many books you would like to order. The books are $25 each, plus the cost of shipping, which is $5. So for $30, we will send you a copy of this book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, written by the great grandson, the senior great-grandson, the eldest living male member of the family of Booker T. Washington, the oldest living male descendant of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. Send us that message and we will contact you to make arrangements for you to send in the money so that you can get your book or books. People are buying books not only for themselves, but also for family members to pass on, because that book will be a treasure, because it will be a book that can be part of the family library, a special book signed by the eldest male descendant of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, who is the author of the book, Marshall Washington, Cabinets, Abui. And as we close, we told you that we were going to share something with you from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We announced at the beginning of the program that we would discuss the topic of how African Americans can cope with President Trump's slashing of the federal budget for anti-poverty programs upon which African American families rely heavily. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad dealt with even worse conditions as he was developing as a leader for Black people from the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And he said, what must be done with the Negroes? Since our being brought in chains to the shores of America, our brain power, our labor, our skills, and talent and wealth have been taken, given, and spent toward building and adding to the civilization of another people. It is time for you and me, the so-called Negroes, to start doing for ourselves. We must not let children be as we are, beggars of another man for his home, for his facilities and clothing and food and the means of providing a living. Man depends on land for the necessities for food, clothing, and shelter for survival, a prime requisite for freedom and independence. Is having one's own land. There can be no freedom without a people having their own land. The acquisition of land has been the factor for more wars than any other cause. Economists agree that in order for any type of nation or system capitalism or communism, democracy or totalitarianism or what have you, to exist and to have a degree of independence, there must be ownership of land. The so-called Negroes are without a state they can call their own. We have nothing to show for our more than 310 years. And of course, this book was written 52 years ago. So we can go ahead and add those 52 years. And so now we're talking about 362 years, nearly 400 years of forced slave labor. Yes, because we were in forced slave labor in the slave condition. But many of our young people today, especially many of our young men between the ages of 13 and 30 and even older, are working on semi-slave, pseudo-slave plantations under the heavy whip and the heavy hand of forced labor on contract prison lands. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we have nothing to show for our more than 310 years of forced slave labor and more than 100 years of our free servitude to our slave master's children. We were brought here to work, and we have worked. We are still the workers. Some of us say, what will we do if we do not work for the white man? How will we live? I say, when you are free and independent, you have a job. You have a tremendous task of doing something for self. You have the job of building a civilization for yourself, as other free and independent people are doing for themselves. As a people, we must become producers and not remain consumers and employees. And I'll add welfare recipients, anti-poverty program beneficiaries. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, we must be able to extract raw materials from the earth. We must be able to manufacture them into something useful for ourselves. This would create jobs in production. We must remember that without land, there can be no production. The surplus of what we produce, what we don't need for our own selves, we would sell. This would develop a field of commerce and trade, as other free and independent people whose population is less than that of the then 20 million and now over 42 million so-called Negroes who are dependent in America, who are wondering, what are we going to do if President Trump cuts back on the programs that we depend on? We must begin at the cradle and teach our babies that they must do something for self. They must not be like we, their fathers and mothers, who look to the slave masters and the slave masters' children, including the federal government, for everything. We must teach our children now with an enthusiasm exceeding that slave masters used in having our forefathers and foremothers embed the seed of dependency within us. We must stop the process of giving power, our labor, and our wealth to our slave master's children. We must eliminate the master-slave relationship. We must educate ourselves and our children into the rich power of knowledge. which has elevated every people who have sought and used it. We must give the benefit of our knowledge to the elevation of our own people. And so, as I said, we're going to end the program. We hope that you have benefited from this opportunity to share in some of the great messages, the great ideas that our leaders have given us. And we're going to close as we began, listening to the beautiful singing of the song, Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Joy.
Well, we're at the end of our program for tonight. We do want to give you the number again to call to order your book or books and get one for every member of your family, because as your children grow up and go off to college, this will be a great book to have in their room in college. It'll be a great book for them to take if they go into the service, to put in their duffel bag, because it will give them guidance, it will give them hope, and it will give them a sense of empowerment and a sense of a future of achievement and success. So the number is area code 706-399-5006. Call and leave a message on the voicemail or send a text message. Make sure you list your name and how many books you would like to order. The books are $25 each plus $5 shipping and handling, which is a total of $30. And just to go ahead and make sure that you get your order in right away. These books are very, very important for every African-American family to have. And I'll mention this to you, but even Caucasian European-Americans are buying this book. So don't wait. Go ahead and order yours now. We thank you for having joined us tonight. And we are going to be talking next week about the relevance of historically black colleges and universities, why we still need to support, and America still needs to support, historically black colleges and universities. So make sure you let your friends know about it and tune in if you would like to be on the show. If you'd like, if you're listening by internet and you would like to be on the show, just call 657-383-0671. You can go up on the Facebook, if you have Facebook, to Booker Washington Senior Great Grandson. That's our Facebook page, and you'll see each week our show advertised in the topics that we will be talking about. And also, you will be able to get the access to the archives to hear the programs that you may have missed. So keep that in mind. Facebook page, Booker Washington, Senior Great Grandson. We hope that you all will, those of you who celebrate Easter, will enjoy a happy Easter, a happy family Easter, if you're going to be visiting family or family's going to be visiting you from afar. But just be careful out there on the road if you're traveling. So now at this time, we're going to leave you with something nice and soft to relax for a few minutes as we close. Thank you. God bless you. And good night.
one of the great arts of the world. Jazz. Great contribution, not only America, but the world. And I want to sing this song because he happened to be from my hometown. A man with a warm smile. A man that everybody loves. And if you don't love him, I don't think you really know how to love. And I want to dedicate this song to him. Just a closer walk with thee. To Louis Armstrong.